So this week, the title of my message is People, Places, and Plans. I think that's considered alliteration. You know, when you have the same sound or the same words. People, Places, and Plans. Good preachers know how to use their P words. It's just the way it works. Think about this. How much and how often is it the people or the places or plans that affect what you do in life, or how you may do something, where you might end up? It's a huge thing. I mean, who you surround yourself can determine how far you go in life. Being at the right place at the right time. I mean, you don't have to answer this question as far as like to me, but think of yourself. Has there been situations where you just happened to be at the right place at the right time and good things happened? Yes. Have there ever been times where because you followed the right plan that was before you, you had success as a result of that? It's the same thing when it comes to our life with God, our relationship with Him. And I think that we have to be conscious of the people in our lives, the places where we allow ourselves to, and the plans that we follow all of the time. It's critical, as we were talking about last week when we were talking about the voice of God, it's also critical that we allow only the right voices to speak into our lives. Have you ever had bad advice? Or have you ever had people around you that say things that all of a sudden it drags you down rather than lifts you up? It's important who the people are. And understand this, everything that we do and that we have is interconnected. The people, the places, the plans, they all hook together somehow. And I believe God is the one that wants us, I know, God is the one that has a plan that connects all these together for us to give us the best life that we can have. Amen. You have to have the right people if you're going to go to the right place and then find the right plan that God has for you that really ultimately ends up in blessing. So let's just get to point number one. God uses people to bless us. I don't know about you, but for me, I have never received a gift from God, or a gift that was signed, "You're welcome, Jehovah Jireh," the God who provides. I've never gotten that. Now, yes, God is the one who provides all things to us, but I've never just had a note signed by God saying, "Hey, Brian, I gave this to you." 99.99999% of the times, God uses a person to bring a gift to me in my life, to provide for me in my life. God always uses somebody. I found that God will put people in my life who oftentimes have already been where I want to go. Think about that. Have you ever had dreams or desires in your life? You're like, man, if I could just connect with this person, the doors that could be opened up to me could be amazing. Oh, if I could only just, have you ever thought, if I could just talk to this person for a couple of minutes and just, you know, what's the pick their mind of what they would do in this situation, it could make my life so much easier, so much better. I believe God has people like that lined up for us in our lives if we pay attention to Him and what He has. God will put people in your life who have already been where you want to go. What's interesting about people that are placed in our lives, they can either lift you up, which is our hope, or if you're around the wrong people, they can tear you down. But if you're around the right person or the right group of people, they can literally unlock a potential that is inside of you that maybe you have wanted to have unlocked, or maybe that you didn't know you had before. So, it was the 80s. Have you ever watched the movie, or all the movies, The Karate Kid? Daniel-san. I guess on YouTube Red, I don't have it, but now they have, what's the new show on YouTube Red? It's called, it has the bad guy. Cobra Kai. I want to watch that, and I haven't seen it yet. But I saw, anyway, okay, back on track. Daniel-san and Mr. Miyagi. Okay, who is, Daniel was the scrawny little kid that got beat up by the Cobra Kai guys all the time. And then as he's running away from some Halloween dance, whatever thing, and you know, the guys are like chasing him on their motorcycles, and he has a little BMX bike, and they knock him over. I like how Daniel goes, oh, he's always getting beat up. But then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, here comes a little stocky Miyagi, and he goes and he does his little things. knocks all the Cobra Kai guys out, and now Daniel-san has this relationship with Mr. Miyagi. How would his life have ended up had Miyagi not found him and then taught him, like Rush said, the wax on, the wax off, the flying whatever? We all know the move, right? The people in our lives are critical. Think of the things that you may want unlocked, the potential. I mean, that's just it. Daniel-san was a nobody, weakling, little guy that got beat up. But when he met the right person, Mr. Miyagi was able to unlock a potential in his life that made him the best. Three movies the best. Even a remake with Will Smith's son. Who thinks he's a... No, okay, I'll leave it there. I'm not going that direction this morning. Okay. You can Google it. God has people for you in your life to unlock great potential, to open doors up for you, to help you become what He wants you to be. Life is not meant to be lived alone. In fact, Proverbs says that a man who isolates himself, or a woman for that matter, seeks their own destruction. Anybody who says, you know what, I can do this alone, I can do this on my own, you're a fool for thinking that. Because God did not create us that way, and I believe God has specific people lined up for your path, of your journey, of your life, to show you things inside of yourself that we need, that you need, that your family needs. Some people have the opposite effect of Mr. Miyagi. Rather than helping you become who you want to be, who God has planned you to be, they can kill your dreams. They can cause you to abort the plan or the thing that God has purpose for you to be, rather than give you the confidence that you need to take the next step. They make you question it. But let's not focus on that at the moment. Think of Mary, the mother of Jesus. Here she is pregnant with the Christ child. And then she runs across Elizabeth. And it says when the two of them met, it says that the baby in her womb leapt with joy. When you're around the right person that you can connect with, that can take you forward in life, literally something inside of you can leap inside of you. Like you say, you know what, I can do this. And they build you up. They help you go forward. They feed that God part inside of you that you need fed. Find people who feed your faith. Find people in your life that build you up and not people who tear you down. Put up on the screen, guys, because I don't have it memorized. Proverbs chapter 18. I was only going to do one verse, but this is all good. Verse 1. Okay, it says, unfriendly people care only about themselves. They lash out at common sense. This is someone you shouldn't be around. They'll tear you down. Fools have no interest in understanding. They only want to air their own opinions. Doing wrong leads to disgrace, and scandalous behavior brings contempt. Wise words are like deep waters. Wisdom flows from the wise brooks like a bubbling brook. It's not right to acquit the guilty or deny justice to the innocent. Fool's words get them in constant quarrels. They are asking for a beating. I like that one. The mouths of fools are their ruin. They trap themselves with their lips. Here's the one I was going to focus on this morning that inspired the rest of it. Verse 8, rumors are dainty morsels that sink deep into one's soul. Keep it right there for a second, guys. If you're wrong, the wrong person, isn't it interesting how when you hear rumors or gossip, how they just sort of seep their way inside of you? And then all of a sudden, you know, I mean, sometimes you go, did you hear what so-and-so did? I cannot believe they did that. And all of a sudden, you're like, yeah, I can't believe they did that either. And you start taking on the offense of the rumor that you've heard, and now you're positioning yourself against somebody else based on what the wrong person has said to you, and tears you down and pulls you away rather than drawing you closer to God. Actually makes, rather than in building your faith, it destroys you. But dainty morsels, rumors and dainty morsels that sink deep into one's heart. And here's the thing too, they're hard to remove once you let them get down in there. Okay, let's keep going. A lazy person is as bad as someone who destroys things. But here's the thing, the name of the Lord is a strong fortress. The godly run to Him and are safe. The The people in your lives will either build you up or tear you down, draw you closer to God and build your faith, or put fear in your life and push you away from Him. Who will you let speak into your life? It is critical that we keep the right people in our lives. Again, think of this. Somebody, maybe you know them right now, maybe you haven't crossed paths, but there are people in this world who have already been where you want to go. And God can cross your paths to help you get there. One God connection can change everything. I mean, think about that. Have you ever had just where you met that one person? She's right here. You know, you met that one person that changed the course of your life. I believe God is the one that puts those people in those places. For the positive. But in order to find that person, we need to have God's eyes. We need to be able to see people with His eyes so that we know whether we should or should not let them into our lives. Because, I mean, I've come across some people like, oh, whoever I cross paths with, God must have put him there. No. We'll get to that in a moment. Well, they said to go this way, so I'll go with them. And it's like a lazy person or an angry person or whatever, all those different things. Look at this. When God wants to bless us, He sends people to do it. When the devil wants to curse us, He sends people to do it. Either way, it's going to be a person that's used. So we need to have God's eyes. We need to have His discernment. We need to have the discernment to know who the people are that need to be in our lives and those who do not need to be in our lives. Because I'll tell you what, there are people that don't need to be in your lives. There are people we let into our lives that should not be there. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, or sorry, they correct me. There is no 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 16. There's a 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 16. The first part of that verse is, this is what Paul says. He says, so we have stopped evaluating others from a human point of view. How many times do we let the wrong people in our lives because we look at them from worldly eyes, of what we think we should be able to get, rather than from the spiritual eyes that God says, hey, look at this person this way. Maybe this is an oddity for me, but I like people who are weird. Maybe I'm weird. I like people who can't do anything for me on the surface. I like people who everybody else don't like.
Don't like.
That's words of encouragement or words that'll tear you down, folks. Come on. Okay. An active example right here. Okay. Where was I at? That was all extra, but let's get back to this. Who we let, I mean, wow, I just, I need to actually reread this, I need to reread the Word of God to get myself back on track here. So here we go. 2 Corinthians 5:16. So we have stopped evaluating others from a human point of view. That says it all right there. Let's get another verse. Romans chapter 8, verse 5. It says, those who are dominated by their sinful nature think about sinful things. But those who are controlled by the Holy Spirit think about things that please the Spirit. Yep. In the same way, we should be able to find people who are thinking about things of the Spirit. Who do you surround yourself in your life? People dominated with things of the flesh and the world, or people dominated with things of the Spirit and God's kingdom? Who has the greatest voice in your life and what you do? Who are those people? The Bible says that we should surround ourselves with people of the Spirit. Flesh people feed your fear. Spirit people feed your faith. Flesh people will tear you down, but Spirit people will build you up. Flesh people drain your energy and waste your time, but Spirit people make dreams inside of you leap when they happen. Think about this. They speak something to you that releases your potential. They speak faith words into your life. You know, there's a guy in the Bible, his name was Saul. Not the King Saul, but the Saul that persecuted Christians. And when God met him on the road, knocked him off his horse and blinded his eyes, there was another guy that God came to and said, "Hey, Ananias, there's a man coming to you, and his name is Saul." And he says, "Wasn't he the guy that's persecuting and killing everybody? I don't want to go around this guy." But God says, "No, Ananias, you are a person who I have placed in his life. He's coming to you, and when he comes, be there." And Ananias was the person who changed the potential for Paul, or from Saul to Paul. It says that he came to him and he said, "Saul, I'm Ananias, God has sent me to you." And it says that he prayed for him and prayed for him. It says that scales fell off his eyes that he could see. You see, sometimes we need to have people in our lives that God has already predestined and planned for us, that when they come to us and say, "Hey, let me pray with you about this," so that our eyes can be opened and we can see things spiritually rather than by the world's ways. God has connections for you, a right person at the right place, at the right time, so that he can show you his plans that he has for you. Ananias was that person for Paul. He helped turn his life around. We need someone in our lives that can talk to us, that can talk to you and show you the right things, especially if you're going the wrong way. It's a blessing. It's a blessing to have someone in your life that can help you see rightly. I said that right. I said that correctly. Let's focus on Paul here for a moment. So the scales drop off his eyes. He can see God's plan. He sees what God has destined for him to do. But everybody knows that Paul is this guy who is known as Saul, as the persecutor of the church, and none of the Christians want anything to do with him. Everywhere he goes, the door gets slammed in his face. "Oh no, you're not here to help us. You want to kill us or imprison us. So no, you can't come here." All the disciples, the apostles, wanted nothing to do with Paul. But then God placed a person in Paul's life. Does anybody know who he was? What was his name? Barnabas. Barnabas was a man that, I mean, okay, again, think of this. There are people that God has for you that have been where you want to go. Barnabas was this person for Paul. Barnabas was a man that everybody loved, everybody respected. When he said something, they stopped and listened to him. And Paul said, "Man, if I could just become friends with Barnabas, these doors would open up for me." And it was this connection between Barnabas and Paul that allowed him to have doors open to preach the gospel and spread the good news to people all over his known world. God has Barnabases meant for your life to open up doors of possibility and potential. Good preaching there, P's going on, person, place, thing, potential, all that stuff, plans. But you have to let them into your life. I believe that God wants to connect us with people who can open doors that we cannot open on our own. I don't know how many times I can say, if it was not for that person, I wouldn't be here. If it wasn't for that person, I would not have had this opportunity. God has people that can open doors that you cannot open on your own. You need their friendship. You need their words. You need them to open it for you. You see, you're blessed when you start believing and seeing that God has people who can get you places where you could never go without them. It's a blessing to have people in your life. It's a blessing to have a church family. It's a blessing to have connections. Go to, this is a real verse, 2 Corinthians chapter 7. And here Paul's given an account of his travels in verse 5. He says, "When we arrived in Macedonia, there was no rest for us. We faced conflict from every direction, with battles on the outside and fear on the inside." I mean, okay, it's a bad day when you don't only have outside pressures, but you feel pressures from the inside. No matter where you go, you don't have rest and you feel like you cannot make it. That is a bad day. But, verse 6, "God who encourages those who are discouraged encouraged us by the arrival of" what? Or who?
Titus,
a person. So here's Paul, discouraged on the inside and outside, and God said, "You know what? He needs a person." And so he placed a person in his path named Titus to encourage him and lift him up. His presence was a joy, but so was the news he brought of the encouragement he received from you. When he told us how much You long to see me, and how sorry you are for what happened, and how loyal you are to me. I was filled with joy. God can put people in our lives to fill us up with his joy, to encourage us, to say, you can keep doing this, to open doors for us. God has people that he wants you to connect with. Here we have Paul, or Titus being brought to Paul, Barnabas brought to Paul, Ananias brought to Paul. God uses people to bring his blessings to our lives. And God has a right person or people for you, for me. If you're discouraged, then start looking around. Because God will send you the right person in your life who you need to encourage you, the same way he did with Titus to Paul. If you don't know the right direction to go, if you feel like you can't see a clear path to your future, then understand God is sending somebody to knock those scales off of your eyes, to help you, to encourage you, to lift you up. If you're in a situation where you feel like you're up against the wall or the doors just don't open, be encouraged, because God has the right people for you. This is how he operates. Second point, the right place. Different person, completely different time, but there's a man in the Bible, his name is Elijah. We've talked about him off and on here and there. And there's this point where Elijah, you know, he was a prophet. And his main nemesises were Ahab and Jezebel. And a lot of his prophecies had to do with, hey, here the judgments are going to be coming against you, Israel, because of these horrible leaders. And so it came to a point where he comes before Ahab and Jezebel and says, you know what, there's a famine in the land. It's coming. It's going to affect everybody. And so when that happened, they were basically like, we're gonna kill this prophet. And maybe if we kill the prophet, the bad stuff will stop happening. And so it says that God sends him off to this place called Kereth Brook, which was the headwaters of the Jordan River. And God said, okay, Elijah, go to this place called Kereth Brook at the headwaters of the Jordan. And there I want you to stay in this place. In this place, I'm going to send ravens to you, and they're going to bring meat and bread and give you what you need to live. And so Elijah went to this place, and there God provided for him. It's really a no-brainer. God has places for us of blessing. God has places for us where he will provide for us, but we have to be in the place where he says to go. God said to him, my blessing is connected to the place where I have for you. God was ready to provide, but Elijah had to go where God had placed the blessing at. Had Elijah said, well, I don't want to go to that place. I want to go back to Mount Carmel. Good victory there on that day. God didn't say to go to Mount Carmel. God said to go to this other place. It was at that place where his blessing was at. Had he gone anywhere else, Elijah would have starved to death like so many others. If God says the blessing can be received over here, and you stay over there, you'll be left in need. It's just the way it is. Understand, God has a there for you. I don't know how many times I've had just a sense or a direction where God says, go over here, or stay in this place. But God, I don't want to stay in this place, or I don't know. It's amazing how the Bible so many times says, at just the right time. You know, these just the right time things are contingent upon us being in the place at the right time. Amen. You see, when you get to that place, God will provide for you. God, I believe God has a that place for each and every one of us. Amen. He can even use a nasty black bird to do it. Now think about this. I don't know if you've ever read in the New Testament, I think it's Acts chapter 10, where there's the vision that Peter had about how sheets are dropped down from heaven, and it says there's unclean animals. And Peter says, I would never touch one of those unclean animals. Never. Nothing unclean has ever touched my lips, because, you know, he was a Jew and it was important to him that he obeyed the law. Now, the law had already been given when Elijah was alive. And Elijah was a prophet and he was trying to follow God. How do you think Elijah felt having his dinner coming in the beak of an unclean bird. By the law, as well as just being a raven. I don't think he cared. Unclean or not, he was going to eat. That to say this, don't think that everybody God uses to bless you is going to be a Christian.
That's right.
Yep. God doesn't have to use Christians to bless you. No. God doesn't have to use Christians to provide for you. My Bible says in Romans 8:28, it says, "And we know that God causes everything to work together for good, for those who love God, who are called according to his purpose for them." God can use a nasty, dirty bird if he wants to give you what you need. Think about this. Not only did he use a bird, but where was he getting meat and bread? This was a famine taking place. Personally, I think it was off the table of Ahab and Jezebel. I think Ahab, I mean, they're the only people that could afford to eat meat and have bread in a famine. I think they probably set their table out, and this bird came down, grabbed the meat, pulled it off their table, and brought it to the prophet. Why not? You see, if you were in the right place at the right time, God can even use the devil's bless or the devil's provision to bless you. God can take things from the world and put them into your house, into your hands, to be used for your benefit and his benefit. Last week I talked about how when Abraham was getting ready to sacrifice his son, and then God said, "No, stop, Abraham." He said, "Well, what are we going to use?" And there was a ram tied up in the thicket with his horns. And it's been with me all week how God will make your provision. He'll even tie up that which your provision may use to resist you with to make sure that you can get it.
That's good.
God already has your provision tied up.
Amen.
Waiting for you in the place where he has it. But you have to be there. You cannot curse what God has blessed. And when you are in the place where you're supposed to be, no one and no thing can stop the blessing that God has for you.
Amen.
That's what we see in his word. And here's the thing. I mean, I don't know how long this was, but it says in 1 Kings that Elijah stayed in this place until the stream dried up from the famine. He didn't have any way to drink anymore. And his provision stopped. But then God gave him another direction. He said, Zarephath. Go to Zarephath. There you're going to find a widow. And she's going to provide all that you need. Go to another place. Why did God do this? Why couldn't he have just left things to be comfortable and just let him stay there at the stream or the brook of Kereth or Kereth or whatever that is? I think it's because a lot of times when life gets comfortable, when we're used to getting things a certain way, we can start looking at that thing or that certain way of doing things and think, that is my provision. That's where what I need, that's where it comes from. But you know, God will change things up, not because he wants us to suffer, but because he wants us to always understand and realize that he is the one that's providing these things for us. The bird wasn't providing. The stream wasn't providing. It was God. And just as God can use a raven by a stream out in the middle of nowhere, he can also send you to another place where there's a widow with no resources, and God can use that place and that person as well to provide the blessing that you need in your life. Your source is not a stream or a bird. Your source is God. We don't go to God for miracles. We go to God for relationship. And it's through that relationship that God provides the miracles for us that we need. It's all connected to him.
Amen.
We'll talk more about this on Wednesday, but I want to just briefly talk this morning about places of blessing. Continue with Elijah. As time goes on, Elijah meets this other guy named Elisha. And if you know anything about the story between Elijah and Elisha, as Elijah was about to be taken up to heaven, and everybody knew this was going to be taking place, Elisha says, "Hey, I want double what you have." And so it says in 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 10, it says, "You have asked a difficult thing," Elijah replied. "If you see me when I am taken from you, then you will get the request. But if not, then you won't." So he says, okay, if you're with me, the right person, when I'm taken up at the right place, then you can receive the double portion. Again, person and place, very important parts of it. And if you look in 2 Kings chapter 2, there's different places where he's at. It says that he was in Bethel, and then he was in Gilgal, I think, first, but my notes say Bethel. So he was in Gilgal, he was in Bethel, and he was at Jericho, and then he came to this place where he was taken up. Everything is dependent on being with the right person at the right time to receive. You know, I hear things like, or I read things like this, and sometimes I feel if I was Elijah or Elisha, I would say, "Really? Why? Why can't you can? Why? I naturally want to challenge things. There are some things I just don't want to do. I mean, think about was it Elisha with Naaman, where he said, "Go dunk yourself in the river 7 times," and Naaman's like, "I'm not doing that," and so he walks off. You know, we have this thing in our lives where we can be, you know, prideful, or think that we know better and go against the authorities of the people that God's placed in our lives. But here, Elisha didn't do that. Elisha respected the prophet. He respected the voice that was speaking into his life. I mean, even when God called Elijah or Elisha to Elijah, drop back to 1 Kings chapter 19, just a couple pages. It says, "So Elijah went and found Elisha, the son of Shaphat, plowing in a field. There were 12 teams of oxen in the field, and Elisha was plowing with the 12th team. Elijah went over to him and threw his cloak across his shoulders and then walked away." So basically this is saying, hey, you're the new prophet. But look what it goes on. Verse 20. "Elisha left the oxen standing there, ran over to Elijah and said to him, 'First, let me go and kiss my father and my mother goodbye, and then I will go with you.' Elijah replied, 'Go on back, but think about what I have done to you.' So Elisha returned to his oxen and slaughtered them. He used the wood from the plow to build a fire and to roast their flesh. He passed around the meat to the townspeople, and they all ate. Then he went with Elijah as his assistant." Why does God change our places? I think sometimes God's saying, you know what, the provision's in this next place. But sometimes we need to be like Elisha, and we need to break our plow and kill our oxen so we can't go back to that place where we thought things were great. We can't go back to how it used to be. We can't go back where we thought the grass was greener. Sometimes you need to break and kill those things. Okay, understand, that's not literal. We need to let go of the past in order to walk into the place that God has for our future. Yes. Elisha knew this. He let go of his securities. He let go of that which he depended upon so he could walk into what God had for him. He let go of what worked before so that he could live in faith for what God had to work later. Let me ask you, what will you do when God says to break your plow and slaughter your herd? Will you trust him for your future? So Elisha follows Elijah to place, to place, to place before he received his double portion. I need to wrap this up, so let's speed up. If you know anything about Bethel, Bethel means this. I just forgot it. I think it means place of God. But it says, you know, this is the place where Jacob named the place Bethel, and it was because this is where he had this vision of angels coming up and going down. He goes, this is the place of God. This is like the gateway of heaven. Do you realize that, considering places, church is the place of God? Church is that place where angels are coming down and angels are going up, where needs are going up and answers are coming down, where you meet with God in the body. Church is a place where you need to go. In order for Elisha to receive the double portion that Elijah had, he had to go to a place, Bethel, where the presence of God was. It's the same thing in our lives. Let's move on. Gilgal. Does anybody know what Gilgal is or what it was? Gilgal was a place where Joshua had to take the new generation of the Israelites before they could enter into the promised land. It was at Gilgal where God said to Joshua, they must all be circumcised before they can go in. Not a fun thing. They were grown men. We'll leave it there. But it's also interesting that Elijah took Elisha there. You know, sometimes there has to be a cutting away, a place of cutting away before you can walk into the blessing that God has for you. The same way that he had to break the plow and slaughter the oxen, let go of his past and let God, you know, circumcise your heart and put you in a place to receive the blessing. Amen. Some things need to be out of our lives. And here's the thing too. Sometimes it hurts. You don't even want to think about it. But sometimes to be in the place where God's going to bless you, it hurts for a while. And here you have Elijah and Elisha in Gilgal, a place where it hurts. But you know, God is God. And sometimes he needs to put us in a place to get us ready for the blessing. God will get you in his house. God will flesh you out. That word, have you ever heard the word flesh out? What it means to make more complete. You know, he gives greater detail. But then he takes this place called Jericho. So he went to Gilgal, he went to Bethel, and he goes to Jericho. What happened in Jericho? The walls came down. But it was also, Jericho is that place where Joshua now had a vision to enter into the promised land. This is what brings us into that third point, plan. God has the right people for us. He has the right places for us. And God also has the right plans for our lives. I believe that when you're in the right place and you have the right people speaking to you, that God will now give you the right plan to go forward. Understand this. Think about this. One idea from God, one word from God, is more powerful, more beneficial than 1,000 philosophies of men. You just need that one thing. You just need the right plan in your life. One idea from God can change your world. There was a biblical scholar, I was sharing this story with somebody the other day, how we were just talking about just how the most simple things about God are so profound. And the story goes that the scholar was given a commencement speech at a theological seminary, and the question was asked of him, what is the most amazing, most profound theological statement you have ever heard in your life? And he said, this is it. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Amen. Imagine if the church could just grasp that simple little phrase, Jesus loves me. How that could revolutionize our lives. If we would make that the plan of our lives, Jesus loves me and I'm going to love other people the way he loves them. Amen. You see, when you need a miracle in your life, God will give you a plan. His plans are always backed up by the Bible. I don't know how many plans I've had in my life that were good plans but not God plans. And think about this for a moment. If you think you have a God plan, it's going to line up with his word. If it doesn't line up with the Bible, it's not his plan. We'll just move on because I need to speed up really quick. I've got so much good stuff. So need to come Wednesday night. If you want to get the deeper stuff, we'll talk about the deeper stuff on Wednesday. So that's that. So God said to Joshua, you're the right person. You're in the right place. Now here's the plan. March around the city every day for 7 days. Blow your trumpets, yell, scream, all this stuff. And on the 7th day, march around 7 times, scream, shout, yell, all this stuff, and the walls came tumbling down. You see, God gives us instruction with his plans. God has a right way for us to carry out his plans. I'm just going to say this to say this. God has plans. God has a plan for family. One man, one woman. God has a plan for your finances. He gets $1, you keep 9. God has a plan for your time. You work for 6 days, you give him the 7th. Amen. There's so many more things, but if you follow the plan, you'll get the miracle. This is how God operates. If you follow the plan, you'll get the miracle. If you follow the plan, you'll get the provision. If you're in the place to get the plan, if you have the people, God makes it work. Amen. This is how we're to live our lives. I'm wrapping it up. I'm done. There's more to be said, but I think we get the point. Ask yourself, just to close things up, who do you let in your life? Do you let people who build up your faith or tear you down? Who put fear in or put faith in? Where are you at? Are you in a place where you're not supposed to be? Or are you in a place where God can bless you? Have you been in a place too long and God's telling you, hey, this is where you need to be at now? But this is comfortable, God. But hey, the stream's drying up. The birds aren't coming anymore. It's not going to work anymore. Or are you in that place and you're in a plan, but you keep trying to do God's plan your way? God has people, places, and a plan. And if we let Him guide our lives in all those areas, you will always be in a place of blessing. Sometimes it may hurt, but God can see past the hurt. This is my encouragement to you this morning. Let's pray. Father, help us to be a church, a people, who are that person, who are those people for others. God, you may have one of us here right now who can be that person that can open the door for somebody else, that otherwise it may not happen. Lord, you may have lined up right now outside these walls people for us that we need to meet, that we need to let into our lives, to speak into our lives, to bring us into what you have for us. Father, for those places, Lord, let us have discernment to know the times in which we live, the places where you have us to be. Father, help us to know where we're supposed to stay and when we're supposed to go. And Lord, help us to surrender all to you, Father, to your will, to your plans and your purposes for us. Father, that we can see the miracles, that we can see the breakthroughs, that we can live the supernatural life that you have for us. I ask that you just give this understanding and revelation to each and every one of us this morning by your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.